It's E-Commerce Minute, your weekly dose of e-commerce, tech, and retail news with your hosts, John Suter, Bart Meraz, and Brittany Blackman. The E-Commerce Minute is a production of Sumo Heavy, a digital commerce consulting firm in Brooklyn, New York, and Philadelphia. Find us on the web at sumoheavy.com.
It's the E-Commerce Minute, episode 781.
These are our top stories in e-commerce, tech, and retail for the week of January 25th, 2021. Amazon Prime has amassed over 142 million subscribers, a number that has most certainly been aided by the COVID-19 pandemic. Consumer Intelligent Research Partners data shows that of December 31st, 2020, more than half of Amazon Prime members, 52%, had an annual membership, up from 49% from just 3 months earlier. Mike Levin, co-founder of CIRP, said that since Amazon introduced a monthly payment option, Amazon had seen a jump in monthly memberships during the latter part of the year. Quote, for the first time in 4 years, the percentage of annual memberships increased in the holiday shopping quarter. What this means is that shoppers were looking to take advantage of the benefits like free, fast shipping without making any of the long-term commitments. Prime membership is important to Amazon for several reasons. The retailer subscription revenue, largely made up of Prime membership fees, totaled $19.21 billion with a B in 2019, a 35.2% jump year over year. And once a consumer signs up for Prime, they're unlikely to cancel the membership. CIRP also estimates that 30 million additional shoppers used an Amazon Prime membership in the year as consumers naturally flocked to the free shipping and streaming media benefits as the pandemic kept them all at home. How about that? I actually looked for a Walmart Plus number. The only thing I could find was from November of last year, some analyst thing, and they have 19 million members in Walmart Plus, but they are just out of the gate, so they have a lot of catching up to do.
They're like, those numbers are like shockingly hard to find for some reason. Like you would think it would be right there.
Amazon Amazon used to keep like all their Prime Day and all their sales numbers really a tight lid on them for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Amazon's like they're trying to keep that quiet just because they didn't like, if you think about it, this is why, because they want to keep the numbers quiet for a long time so that like Walmart did not do this beforehand.
Good point. Yeah. I always wondered why. And I guess that's the reason.
Yeah.
So Walmart Plus still at 19 million. And that was as of November. That number is sure to grow. And we got a couple stats here. Global e-commerce sales were at 4.28 trillion in 2020. Trillion, that's with a T, with a 14.3% increase expected in 2020, according to eMarketer. And then we also have Target bringing up the rear. They have their shipped. I'll just give a personal anecdote here. I've been switching between Target and Walmart because I'm trying to get off the Amazon horse. Target drives me nuts. And this is a UI UX thing because they have three ways to get your stuff. And they're always driving you different ways and you fill your cart because you're thinking, I just want to get all these things. And you go to check out. And if you're not paying attention, you wind up some things in shipped, some things they think you want to pick up the store, some things you want to have delivered. And then there's a differentiation between shipped and delivered, which is really weird if you don't know, if you're like someone who doesn't understand these things and I pretend to do, it gets a little confusing. So there's my Target
anecdote. There's your quibble about that.
So
they have a lot of Prime members, but I think today I just saw an article or this week about all of a sudden Amazon grocery being the top of the heap of the best grocery kind of stores, beating up HEB, which is kind of crazy. I think with Prime membership and getting delivery, that's where it's at for them now.
And what is it now? It's 2-hour delivery from Whole Foods with Prime?
I think
so. Is that true?
I believe that's what the play is. But they also now have their own grocery stores too. I can't wait for those. John, there's one next near you somewhere, right?
Yeah, I just told you that they've ripped the facade off of this. It was an old two guys and then it was a Kmart. And then the Kmart just sat empty for like, you know, or 3, 4, 5 years. In fact, I used the facade of this empty Kmart on one of our white papers a couple of years ago because it was a really grim picture. And they are now moving fast in this thing. I mean, the facade is completely ripped off. They're gutting the inside. So I will have an Amazon grocery store near me probably within the next 2 months.
Yep.
Very excited.
Yep. Exciting. Exciting times.
Okay. Next story. Get your Girl Scout cookie fix online. Ooh. Girls, are you talking?
Yes, I said ooh.
Ooh. Girls.
Keep on reading.
I'm hungry. Girl Scout cookie season traditionally begins rolling out each January. And last year, the timing couldn't have been worse. Just as sales normally take off, America was hit with the COVID-19 pandemic, leaving the organization searching for an alternate plan. By March, the Girl Scouts had set up online ordering, allowing people to get cookies shipped directly to the door or donate boxes to frontline workers. And for 2021, the Girl Scouts are coming in prepared and bringing a new cookie with them. Girl Scouts has kicked off its 2021 cookie drive with a partnership with Grubhub. It marks the first collaboration with a national delivery service as the national organization pivots to online selling and contact-free delivery during the pandemic. Grubhub isn't charging a fee to the organization, and local Girl Scouts will track and fulfill the orders as well as manage inventory via Grubhub's platform, with the overall program continuing to help girls develop important life skills such as goal setting, decision making, money management, people skills, and business ethics. That's not to say you can't still buy cookies directly from a Girl Scout. In fact, GSUSA suggests that if you want cookies, you should reach out to any Girl Scouts you know to first see how they're selling them. The organization explains that many members are still working in creative, socially distant, and contact-free ways, from running virtual cookie booths on social media to setting up drive-through locations to facilitating orders that ship directly to customers' doors. But if you don't know any Scouts and you don't see yourself browsing the streets for cookies, you still have online options. And as the GSUSA stresses, even then, the proceeds from each and every purchase stay local with the troop and its council. If you use the national online ordering site, your purchase goes through a local troop based on your zip code. And with the Grubhub partnership, which will be available in select markets with additional markets added through cookie season, orders are tracked and fulfilled by Girl Scouts using Grubhub's back-end technology. And Grubhub waiving the fees. I think this is delightful. And you know what? These girls are learning how to sell stuff online. I think that's really cool.
Oh yeah, this is valuable.
It's actually a valuable thing. It's called How Will You Persevere When You Can't Go and Set Your Table Up in Front of the Wawa?
Yeah, we actually, our friends are selling them, and we got them, and they just delivered, you know, we ordered a line from them, and it was great. Actually, it works out really, really nice.
And there was a thing, I am unprepared, but I do recall seeing a story that if you didn't know where you wanted, so I guess, you know, if you order, it goes through zip code, but I think if you go through the national thing and you don't, if you're not sure of the troop in your area, there's a certain code that you can use for, it's a generic code that goes towards, it's a special troop. It's a virtual Girl Scout troop, that these are Girl Scouts that suffer from homelessness. It's like a special thing. I had it written down. Sorry, unprepared, but you can look that up. Yeah, so that's pretty cool. I always liked organizations like the Girl Scouts. I was a Cub Scout and a Boy Scout, and it teaches you a lot of good life skills. It may not be as cool as it used to be because, you know, it's like, I remember wearing the uniform and thought I was a real cool kid, but I would probably get, you know, a wedgie or something if I, you know, was these days, but... I get the virtual wedgie, yeah. And yeah, I think these are great. Teach kids some life skills and things that they probably don't learn at home.
A socially distanced wedgie.
Socially distanced virtual wedgie, yes. Work on that app. I will fund that app.
What's your favorite cookie? I'm so curious.
It's always changed, but I'm always team Thin Mints. The problem is with the Thin Mints, when you get the box, the serving size is one sleeve. And I'll eat a whole sleeve.
Oh my God, yeah.
I forget it. And I try, you know, like, and the last couple of years I've been kind of like, you know, like, all right, don't bring any cookies in the house because I'll eat them all. But then one magically appears in my house and I'll just be standing in the kitchen going, I'll just have one, three, I'll just have five, I'll just have seven Thin Mints. Okay, put the box away. Yeah, I have a problem. But they used to have the, I don't know if they still have them anymore. They had the Samoas, they had the peanut butter ones. Mm-hmm.
They do. Unfortunately, the packaging has changed, by the way.
Well, now it's not even boxes anymore, is it?
There's still boxes, but you get like actual, not box stuff, but they're not. Remember how you used to be like, they were exactly the same, which was great. Mm-hmm. Just different colors. Nope, they're all different.
Yeah.
Oh. Makes
no sense to me in a way.
And the cookies have gotten smaller. I know the Samoans are not the same that I had when I was a younger person.
Well, I have tea. So back in the day when I was a Girl Scout, we had this one cookie and it was limited edition and they were literally called pinatas. And let me tell you something. It was like a cookie with like, it was almost like a strudel or like, a Pop-Tart pastry type of thing. And it had like this like strawberry jam. And then over it, there was like icing drizzled on them. And
I'm looking at this. I do recall this.
They were the absolute best. And they took them away. I will never forget those cookies. They were, and I've been begging for them ever since. Like I've been craving them since like a decade ago.
Ladies and gentlemen, ever, you know, since we've fallen down the Girl Scout cookie rabbit hole, there is a Pinterest board called Girl Scout Cookie Graveyard, and they have a picture of this delicious cookie. So just look up Girl Scout Cookie Pinata. Speaking of Girl Scout cookie flavors, there is the new cookie that we did not mention. The new cookie for 2021 is called Toast Yay. Billed as a French toast inspired cookie dipped in delicious icing and full flavor in every bite. Yum, yum,
oh,
yum.
My God.
Yes. Welcome to my food podcast. And finally, for the Girl Scout cookie story, GNC has also agreed to support the Girl Scouts by allowing girls to set up outside their locations in a safe and socially distant manner. But selling from traditional stores will be expected to be limited due to COVID-19. Blah, blah, blah. So, you know, we just can't, well, oh God, how many times can I say COVID-19 or pandemic during this podcast? But gone are the days temporarily is when you had the parents selling the cookies in the office and you went to every convenience store and there were the cookies. So the only good news is it's good news for people's diets. Everyone else, just go order your Girl Scout cookies online. Support the Girl Scouts of America or USA or whatever they're called. Thank you. Girl Scouts get a bell. Were you going to add something, Britt? Go ahead.
I was going to say that we should start a petition to bring back some of the cookies in the graveyard. That's all.
You get on that. Oh, and also this Grubhub thing. I mean, can you imagine being a stoner and just be like, yeah, man, let's get some cookies.
Yes.
It's like the perfect thing.
That's called, what's the cookie place in Philly?
Oh, Insomnia.
Insomnia.
I mean, I know they're everywhere, but. Found in Philly, just to say.
There's something different in Girl Scout cookies. I don't know what they put.
They just hit different.
Crack. Yeah, they do. Crack. Yeah, literally.
It's actual crack.
Little do we right. know. All
right. We're breezing through this today. All right. For our final story, Kroger's self-scanning cart. Kroger Company, the largest U.S. supermarket operator, is piloting an artificial intelligence-powered smart shopping cart from New York-based Caper Inc., a retail automation technology company. Branded as a Krogo by Kroger, the Caper cart has been quietly tested at a Kroger banner store in Cincinnati since last October. The technology lets shoppers scan items and pay directly via the cart, eliminating the need to wait in line at the checkout area. The Caper cart uses AI and machine learning to scan products as customers put them in the cart, which has a built-in scale for items sold by weight. A touchscreen near the cart's handle displays a running tally of items selected, and an attached point-of-sale card terminal allows customers to pay for their purchases right on the cart. Shoppers bag their own groceries, and once payment is completed, they exit the store. So don't even try to sneak an extra can of Pringles into your cart. Kroger will know about it. Kroger noted that its smart cart offers grocery and other retailers a plug-and-play autonomous checkout solution that doesn't require a store retrofit or operational overhaul to deploy quickly. But Kroger and Caper aren't the first companies to roll out smart carts. The Amazon Dash cart first showed up at the new Los Angeles supermarket Amazon opened last year. The store has cashiers, but Amazon said it wanted to give shoppers a way to bypass any checkout lines. The cart is equipped with a touchscreen and other hardware components like cameras and a scale to automatically detect what items you're placing inside, how much they weigh, and it's all the same as the Caper. So the Caper was the first one out of the gate with this part. If you recall, we did a story on this many, many moons ago. And we used to do a lot more stories about just grocery tech. This was a very interesting story. But it was one of those where great technology, but who's going to buy these? Because these carts were probably very expensive. Well, Kroger stepped up and bought a bunch of these carts. It's interesting, and the article points out about, because we all look at the Amazon Go as the future of this type of retail, this type of grocery retail, yeah. At least on a smaller scale. And the thing that the reason that it's not ubiquitous now is because either building it out or retrofitting it is super, super expensive. But doing something like this with an autonomous cart is an easy way to get into that. And I will note I always like to tell my true stories. Sam's Club has the self-checkout now, and you used to have to suffer. You know, you'd go and get your 5 pounds of butter and your 10 pounds of peanut butter, and then you'd have to wait in line for a half hour. Well, Sam's completely streamlined their checkouts. They now have a bunch of self-checkouts, but they also have just through the app, and you can zip in and zip out. So I'm not sure that this super tricked out cart is the way to go. It's very helpful when you have things that have to be weighed, I guess, in a traditional grocery store, that would make more sense. But I guess with the Sam's Club, you're basically using your phone and you're in and out. So I don't know. I don't know if this is going to be something that you're going to see widespread again, because very, very spendy shopping carts.
I have a question for you, though.
Sure.
Are people still going to leave them like jackasses in the middle of the parking lot?
That's what I'm saying. Like,
instead of putting them in the actual like cart and just leaving them next to their thing, so they block five different spots.
So this is a good point here. I can't even imagine letting this cart outside of the store. So right. I'm wondering what kind of retrofit that Kroger had to do to make space for these super fancy carts. And I'm sure we still have the old fashioned steel shopping carts that are strewn all over the parking lot, blocking people's parking spaces. So.
Well, I know here in Philly, people like love stealing shopping carts for their own. Like the amount of people I just see walking down the street with a shopping cart from like Target or Acme. I'm like,
it's hard to get groceries home. So you just take a cart. And then when you get near your house, you just throw it in the woods. That's the
deal. Yeah, but like some of them have that like the block thing on it, which is always funny to me. Like how do you get that? Like, do you just break it?
you break it, you just drag the cart. You just keep dragging it until you get home. Yeah. It's crazy. So yeah. Oh, here we have a little factoid here. The Kroger pilot marks Caper's third deployment within national retail chain in the past 12 months. Sobeys Incorporated, one of Canada's largest food and drug retailers, has rolled out the Caper cart since piloting the technology in October 2019. While New York retailer Food Seller and Company went live with the Caper cart earlier in 2019. And there's also another, speaking of Caper devices, Caper recently introduced the Caper Counter, what encapsulates the Caper cart's AI and product scanning capabilities into a smart box that provides self-checkout service for on-the-go customers. Self-checkout is the way to go. And I think obviously COVID has accelerated that, because people don't want to, people like me, I don't want to be around anybody, but now everybody else has to stay away from each other. So it's like, you know, listen, I've been training my whole life for this. I know how to stay away from people. I know how to do it. Just ask me. I'll show you how to do it. That's done.
Absolutely.
Fair enough.
And final stat, last year, Caper CEO Lyndon Gayo told Emerging Tech Brew that the firm's auto recommendation system increased average checkout conversions by 18%. So there's some smart software on there that probably says, there's a dog. If you got potato chips, you'd probably want some dip. Since the cart weighs each item, they can also reduce. Yeah, that's great.
Perfect.
Done? Love it.
All right. You guys got anything to add? This episode was all over the place, but yeah, that's how it goes sometimes.
I like the energy, though.
Thank you. Good about it. All right, we'll close that one out. That's all for this episode. We'll be back next Friday to break down the week's e-commerce, tech, and retail news. And don't forget our long-form podcast, In the Ring, available on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Until then, we'll see you on the internet next Friday.
Bye. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye, guys. Wolf.